This is The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and with Ben Vowsler, who's in his kitchen cooking up some delightful treats. We are celebrating British Food Fortnight, as it allegedly is, and also Cheese Week, and we're trying to celebrate the diverse range of food that Britain produces, and no better than that, it's cheese. Food production involves enormous amounts of science, and cheese is a very good example. It's made from milk with the help of millions of microbes. Now, I've got a cheese board in front of me here. It's got some pretty famous cheese on it. Not all of them are British. What have we got here? I've got a cheddar, a Stilton, a camembert and an Emmental. And here to talk me through the science that's helped make these is Professor Martin Adams. He's from the University of Surrey, where he's the Professor of Food Microbiology. He's got some cheese with him too. Hello, Martin.
Hello.
Welcome to The Naked Scientist. First of all, can we just run through the basic process that enables us to make cheese in the first place? How does it get made?
It starts with a lactic acid bacterial culture that is added to the milk. Once that lactic acid culture starts working, it converts the milk sugar lactose to lactic acid. And then an enzyme preparation called rennet is added, which causes the casein in the milk, the milk protein, to coagulate. And so the whole of the milk forms a solid coagulum. And all the while, the bacteria carrying on producing acid from the lactose in the milk. The coagulum is then cut. And when it's cut, it starts to separate into curds and whey, the liquid phase. And then it goes through various sort of manipulations, further processing to separate the curd from the whey. And you end up with the curd which goes to make the cheese. And it's essentially those simple processes by slight variations in them. Sorting, I forgot to mention that at the very end, of course, the curds are sorted. And those sort of basic steps of lactic fermentation, addition of the enzyme, the curd cutting, the removal of the whey and sorting, just by variations, slight variations in that, you can make this huge array of different cheeses.
So the bacteria that are added right at the beginning that do this souring process, the lactic acid bacteria, they're presumably quite a special strain of bacteria that are used to do that.
Yes, they're normally, in the case of cheddar cheese making, an organism called Lactococcus lactis. And traditionally, these would have been naturally present in the dairy environment. But of course, nowadays, they need to be much more assured of control of these processes, and so they add a culture, a starter culture, as it's called, of Lactococcus lactis that is produced industrially. And those bacteria are really the primary microflora.
Just opening this one here, because I've got a cheddar here, so if I just take a little piece of this, it's a very firm cheese, but still, yes, Nonetheless quite springy and moist. It's quite tasty. It's quite a sharp taste to it. What actually goes into making, say, a cheddar like this? How would you do that?
The first stage, the lactic acid production by the primary starter culture is really just the start of it. You end up with a curd that has been salted. And when you add the salt, the starter culture stops growing. It's inhibited by the salt. But what happens in cheddar cheese, as it matures or ripens, you get a secondary microflora, which are known as non-starter lactic acid bacteria. And these have not been added. They're just naturally present in the milk or in the environment, and they get into the cheese. And these grow, and they grow up to levels of about 10 million per gram in the course of a few weeks of ripening. It's a combination of proteolytic enzymes, lipolytic enzymes that are still present from the starter organism, although the starter organism can't grow any longer. Its enzymes can still be active. They're also residual proteolytic activity from the rennet that's been added, and there's enzyme activities from these non-starter lactic acid bacteria. And so they, particularly in the case of cheddar, they break down the proteins to produce peptides that give that sort of meaty, sort of savoury, salty flavour to the product. And as the cheese matures, so that flavour becomes stronger.
That's a very high bacterial density, isn't it? Does that then mean that quite a significant weight of the cheese that you're eating does contain viable bacteria? If I took my block of cheddar here and I actually did a gram stain for microorganisms under a microscope, if I emulsified the cheese, would I see viable organisms in there?
Yeah, you should be able to see the non-starter bacteria. Normally, they're rod-shaped bacteria. The starter used in cheddar cheese making, Lactococcus lactis, is a coccus, a spherical bacterium, whereas the most common non-starter lactic acid bacteria tends to be Lactobacillus caseii, Lactobacillus paracaseii. So you'd see them quite, they'd be quite evident.
So does it make a difference if you use pasteurised milk, which has effectively been rendered sterile then? You would presumably have to put those back in.
Well, you don't. That's the interesting thing, is that certainly people claim that if you use unpasteurised milk, because you don't destroy the natural flora of the milk, you get a much more flavoursome cheese. And that probably is the case, that you do get a stronger flavour. But even if you pasteurise the milk, these bacteria, that some of them may survive pasteurisation, but others may just be present in the environment, and they grow as biofilms on equipment and so on, so they just naturally contaminate the environment, but in a good way.
It's convenient. Now, the other cheese I've got here is a bit whiffy, and this one, of course, you can probably predictably guess, this is a blue cheese. I think you've got some Stilton in front of you.
Yeah.
I've got some Danish blue. Stilton, obviously, English cheese, Danish blue, presumably ancestrally Danish. Yeah. This is very different. I mean, if I take a slice through this one, I see that this is absolutely riddled with A, holes, and B, a lot of those holes are full of what looks like the same stuff that grows on your loaf when it goes mouldy.
Yeah, the first stage in making a Stilton cheese would be similar to cheddar, in that they would add a starter culture which produces lactic acid from the lactose in the milk. But they would also add mould spores, and in blue cheese, the mould is Penicillium roqueforti. When they've made the cheese, moulds need air to grow, so what they do is they make the cheese in a way to have a fairly open texture with some sort of cracks in it to have some air there. But they also stick needles through the blocks of cheese, and if you look very carefully at a substantial sized piece of Stilton, you'll see the tracks of these holes of where they put needles through to allow air into the cheese, to allow the mold spores to germinate and the mold mycelium to grow throughout the cheese. And the blue color you actually see is the mold spores when the mold has sporulated.
What about the flavour? Is that imparted by the growth of that mould inside the cheese?
Yeah, very much so. It's the mould's much more sort of metabolically active and will produces lipases and proteases and produces a whole range of breakdown products from the components in the cheese, things like methyl ketones, lactones, and so on, which all and fatty acids, all of which give the characteristic flavour to that cheese.
Thank you, Martin. That's Professor Martin Adams. He's from the University of Surrey. He's got a cheese board, and so have I. We'll be tucking in when we go to Ben in just a second to find out how the cake baking's going. Incidentally, if you were interested in that piece all about how you make cheese, we have made a little video. This is one of our Naked Scientist scrapbook episodes, which you can find on YouTube if you look up Naked Scientist scrapbook. But if you go to thenakedscientist.com/scrapbook, you can see Sarah Castor-Perry's latest video all about how you use microbes to make cheese. It's terrific. Check it out.